TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Badlands Podcast, the only podcast out there that is 100% chiseled and is proudly part of the Chairshot Radio Network. I am Mags, and for the first time in 2020, I can say, here is my podcast wife, Mr. Paul Toller. Paul, how are you this fine decade?
Oh, I feel good. This is our decade. Certainly our year. I think we're going to make it our decade. There's still time to make it our century, but I'm feeling good. Optimistic.
How are you? Optimistic. There's something quite worrying about how optimistic you are. You must have turned over a new leaf in the new year.
My New Year's resolution is drugs.
Wow. Yeah, my Christmas and New Year have been absolutely brilliant. And just been eager to get back on the podcast. Sadly, it's like, it feels like it's been ages since we recorded. I mean, it actually
too long.
Is ages.
Too long.
Yeah, so it's good to get back into the saddle with you, Paul, and we couldn't have picked a better guest to start our new year. Somebody who I've had on Why We Watch before, but he's never quite made it to Badlands until now, and I'm so glad he has. Today we've got Brad from the Take the Bump podcast. Brad, how are you today, my fine fellow?
I'm doing great. It was a long day at work, but I'm off work now. Shower taken, pants off, we're good.
Hashtag, we like to hear.
Yeah. doing a Matt Willis hashtag pants off for the podcast. So, Brad, seeing as you are making your debut here on Badlands, what we'd like to do is we'd like to get your picks for the greatest wrestlers of all time, who will be on your Mount Rushmore of the greatest wrestlers, so we can add them to our collated list. So who are your four greatest wrestlers of all times, and a little bit of a reason why you pick each one?
Oh, man. Well, my greatest... I kind of do it, you know, almost generationally the way I see it. And it starts off with Flair. I mean, I know a lot of people like to refer to Jericho as the GOAT, but Flair is always going to be the GOAT as far as I'm concerned. Next is Hogan. I know that he's like got controversy or whatever, but love him or hate him, you can't deny the things that he's done for the business and in the business. Greatest heel turn of all time still, you know, He reinvented himself at a time when reinventing yourself wasn't really a thing or not that big of a thing. You know, you found one thing and you stuck to it.
You'll never be beaten on that heel turn.
No. I mean, New Japan tried it this weekend and yeah, it's just like you said, like Brad said, it was something that wasn't the kind of done thing back then, and it was monumental. And we still talk about it now 20, 25 years later. So, yeah, I totally endorse that.
So then I kind of move into the Attitude Era. I know a lot of people bounce Rock or Austin. I say Austin. Austin sold the most merch. He, in my opinion, sold the most tickets. He's the one that really bounced WWF at the time back on top of WCW in 98, 99. So you can't deny that. And I mean, I love The Rock. I think he's great. I think he's, you know, one of the greatest of all time. But I go with Austin there. And then you move into the more modern times, and it's got to be John Cena. He's undeniably been the face of the company for a decade. Maybe fading a little bit now as he moves into movies and stuff. But John Cena propped that company on his shoulders for well over a decade.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at all the picks that you've actually done, at one or more times in their career, they've carried companies and promotions on the back. So, yeah, every single one of them is incredibly worthy of being on Mount Rushmore. Paul, how does that affect? You'll have to dust off the list. It's been that long since we've had to use it. But how does that affect Tully's tallies?
Matrix really interesting, actually, because you know we had four breakaway wrestlers, but it's not the case anymore. Chris Jericho's being hunted down by Hulk Hogan and John Cena now. Wow. He's still holding on to that fourth place, but Hogan's one behind, Cena's three behind, so it could all change. At the very top, we've got The Rock and Ric Flair, both with 22 nominations each, followed by Stone Cold Steve Austin with 21. So we've definitely got three front runners, but that fourth place race for fourth place, the Champions League spot, is heating up.
Yeah, and it's interesting how big a lead that Ric Flair took at the beginning, and he's kind of been like pegged back quite a lot. I think that's his first pick in a good five or six episodes. So yeah,
that's his first pick in a while. Hulk Hogan's first pick in months, I think. but he managed to hold on there. He got a lot of early votes. This never ceases to be interesting.
No, yeah, it's good to get these kind of like different viewpoints on wrestling. I think that's what makes wrestling so great for me.
Hey everyone, it's your girl, the Queen of NE, and I'm so excited to tell you about my show, Queen's Court. It's an awesome, fun, super interactive podcast led by yours truly, bringing you some awesome interviews, some great collabs, and just enjoying discussing our beloved sport of wrestling. You can find me on Twitter at The Queen of NE, on Instagram at XTheQueenOfNE, and of course my podcast, Queen's Court, on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are out. I encourage you to come take a listen to something new, something fresh, and something that you can only have when you hold court with the Queen.
Shall we get into the topic? The topic that you two seem to have found really, really difficult, and I personally found it a piece of piss to pick mine. One that we'll be giving Kelsey a lot of grief over. She has signed this topic, and it's the topic of the Mount Rushmore of signees that could save Ring of Honor. So I took that to mean anyone who Ring of Honor could bring in that could make an impact on their company and kind of revitalize the situation that they found themselves in.
I don't know how you found this easy. I'm intrigued to see. I reckon you've played fantasy football here. I reckon you've gone for like the Undertaker. Yeah. people who would never sign for Ring of Honor. We'll see.
Brad and I are having a little bit of a pre-podcasting chat about it, and when I was kind of like giving Brad the lowdown on what the topic was, my example was that you couldn't sign, like you couldn't say John Cena going to Ring of Honor because it just wouldn't be kind of a realistic proposition. So, man, I would say realistic it might be stretching a little bit, but they are people who they could sign and they wouldn't look out of place, I don't think, in Ring of Honor.
Okay, I'm going to be the judge of this. If I think you're stretching, I'm getting my veto out for sure.
So you've got enough picks there to veto, Paul.
I think everybody I picked has actually been in Ring of Honor before. So that's the kind of way I looked at it. It may be a little bit of a stretch for some of the top guys, but, you know, the higher end guys, I should say.
Yeah, just looking through the picks I've got, the two of the main ones have definitely had appearances in Ring of Honor. So, yeah, I think me and Brad kind of gone along on the same lines in that sense. But let's not beat around the bush. Brad, what is your first pick on your Mount Rushmore of signees that could save Ring of Honor?
I'm kind of trying to figure out whether I should go with like the low end or the high end, or what the high end or the low end is to start with. First of all, let me just say, I'm not sure that anybody can save Ring of Honor at this point. And I don't say that with any malice. I want every wrestling company to succeed. I'm not a real big fan of the parent company at this time. So like you know, honorable mention to anyone who wants to buy Ring of Honor from them.
Which I would suspect being WWE, just for the tape library.
But you know what? I'm just going to kick things off in high gear. I think the most likely to save Ring of Honor, if they were able to sign him, is a guy who's been Ring of Honor champion. He's been Impact champion. He's been IWGP heavyweight champion. He's been WWE champion, and that's AJ Styles.
It's somebody that I definitely considered. Why did you go with AJ?
Again, he's been a champion everywhere he's been. He has a loyal following. He's built an even greater following in WWE. He's just a star, and he's proven it everywhere he's been.
Yeah, I totally agree. Whether he would leave WWE now, I think he's kind of in that mindset that he's happy to see out the end of his days there. But we're obviously dealing in like dreams, and he would be the kind of person that brought a lot more eyes back to that Ring of Honor product. I a really great pick, and like I said, he was someone who I did consider.
Yeah, if they could pull it off, then he could definitely work wonders. I'm dubious if they could pull off that signing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. It'd be one of those eye-catching signees if they could do that. Paul, is it you to go first this week? It's been that long since we've actually recorded. I can't even remember.
I think it is, yeah. I think well, it is.
It would have been.
Yeah, we're going to take it.
Shock horror.
The reason I find this really difficult, it's like I said, I've tried to keep realistic. I've got four people here who I think they could actually sign if they wanted to really kind of get their wallet out. I think the reason I'm having a problem with it is Ring of Honor in its heyday was essentially NXT now. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion of it anyway. So Ring of Honor would always have the hottest kind of up and coming talent, but all that up and coming talent is now in NXT. The next layer of talent's all in the Performance Center, and the rest of it's in AEW. So it's not like, say, Ring of Honor 10 years ago, Samoa Joe isn't out there and Bryan Danielson isn't out there to sign, because they were all already hoovered up. Anyone who kind of has charisma and can sell tickets. So it's really difficult to find new talent. So it's got to be looking back, I think. And along the same lines, this is probably my more dreamy one of my picks. Former Ring of Honor talent, former Ring of Honor champion. He'd certainly sell tickets. He'd certainly get a lot of interest. In the short term, the big question mark would be, would he want to do it? I think the mischievous part of him might be tempted if the money was right. It's CM Punk. Whether that was in a wrestling capacity or just in, a general manager capacity or any capacity, I think CM Punk walking into Ring of Honor would certainly get eyes back on the product. Like I say, you've got that historical link there, where he was there in the heights of Ring of Honor, you know, the famous Summer of Punk that WWE tried to replicate. I'd go for CM Punk.
Yeah, I can see that. And again, another one that I very quickly landed on is quintessentially Ring of Honor. It would be that kind of person who would make a massive impact straight away. I think he would do that in any company that he went to, whether it be Ring of Honor or AEW, anywhere. He's that kind of character. He's got that kind of black presence. I didn't pick him because I had a feeling that you would. But,
predictable as ever.
Yeah, but saying that, is not somebody I'm willing to veto, because I think he would be a massive, massive signing for him. And yeah, he would definitely go a long way to saving that company. Brad, let's go to you for your second pick on your Mount Rushmore of a Ring of Honor signees to save that company.
Well, I was going to say CM Punk. So it's for basically the same reasons. because I feel like if anybody would be willing to go there just to kind of quote unquote stick it to the man, it's going to be CM Punk. He would, I feel like it's something he would do just to piss off Vince McMahon or Hunter or whoever.
Yep. You know, he's kind of that vindictive person, as well, or he seems to be that kind of vindictive person. But I also think he'd do it because he's got a love for that company. Because he was there, like I said, in its heyday, he was one of the big stars when Ring of Honor was the go-to like indie promotion. So I could definitely see him going there, and I definitely think he would go a long, long way to save the company. So I can't really have any any problems with him being any of you guys' picks. Let's go on to my first one. Again, I've gone kind of down the same lines of someone who's been in Ring of Honor before, but the person who I've got first is not been in Ring of Honor that much. When I think of Ring of Honor, I think that they've got an amazing roster already. I think they've got the likes of PCO, you've got Brody King, Bandido, Flamita, Jay Lethal, the Briscoes. The list goes on and on. You can just ram off talent after talent. And that is kind of the basis of any successful promotion. But with the recent loss of Marty Scurll and the potential loss of Flip Gordon, for me, the big problem talent-wise is they haven't got like that one big name. They haven't got that one draw, if you will. They need a name that signifies this is Ring of Honor. They need a draw. And in fact, I think they need the draw. I think they need Sami Callihan. He could definitely be the kind of signing that would revitalize Ring of Honor and get people like interested in that product. He's well traveled in the wrestling world. He knows how to work the WWE style because he did a couple of years stint in NXT, and he did the Cody route of betting on himself before Cody actually did it. He's had successful runs in CZW, Evolve, Pro Wrestling, Guerrilla. He's even had a little bit of a stint in New Japan when he was a part of Def Juice with Juice Robinson in the World Tag League. He had success in Lucha Underground where he won the Trios title. And he was a massive player on the beginning of MLW's Fusion show. But he made his biggest impact, very unironically, in Impact Wrestling, where he's doing for Impact exactly what I'm saying he could do for Ring of Honor. He's revitalized a company that was pretty much on the brink of closure. Nobody was giving an absolute toss about Impact before the likes of Sami Callihan came along, and now it's one of the hottest tickets in Western wrestling. Started a stable called OVE, which has just been an absolute phenomenon. He turned a botch with Eddie Edwards with the baseball bat into the eye to one of the biggest storylines of the year, and really built his character off the back of that. And the fact is, right now he's involved in one of probably the biggest and maybe most historic storylines, where we may see a female wrestler hold a major Western company's world title in Tessa Blanchard. I think the guy's absolute money. I think he's the draw, and I think he's someone who Ring of Honor could really build that company on the back of.
Definitely. Like I said, he's proven that he can do this kind of thing already with Impact. He's always in the headlines. People are always talking about him, and that's exactly what Ring of Honor need. They need people to talk about the show, talk about the wrestlers, and he'd be perfect.
Yeah, he was the first person who I thought of when this topic was brought up. I thought if Sami Callihan was in Ring of Honor now, he could do for Ring of Honor what he's done for Impact. And yeah, I just think he'd be a good fit as well, because he kind of fits their wrestling style. He kind of fits in with the product that Ring of Honor put out. So
yeah, for sure.
It's almost like a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean,
OVE versus Briscoes. Is that what you're getting toward?
Who wouldn't want to see the OVE versus the Briscoes? Yeah. I've only very recently become a bigger fan of the Briscoes. I mean, I've always known about them and I've always like kind of enjoyed them. But over this last couple of years, I've really seen myself like looking more and more at their work. And yeah, they are one of the best tag teams that I've ever come across.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I had Callahan on my shortlist. I wasn't going to go with him. And I also had Blanchard, Tessa Blanchard as well. Because I do feel, maybe, I don't know if anyone's going to bring up a woman, but I do feel there's a place in the market for someone in America doing great women's wrestling. I think they're still lacking that. So to build a company around Blanchard, and they've already got a lot of good wrestlers there. They, you know, they've got Sesshamov, Martina with Ring of Honor. So they could carve a niche out for themselves if they went for great women's wrestling.
Yeah, and they've got the likes of Sumi Sakai there. I think Maria Mannix there. Obviously, they've been having this issue with Kelly Klein, which is a big loss. But I can see that viewpoint, and it totally does make sense. Brad, let's go back to you for your third pick on your Mount Rushmore of signees that could potentially save Ring of Honor.
Okay, so this next one I find a little more likely than the previous two, really. It's somebody, he's currently in WWE. He's been doing a lot of stuff on YouTube and Twitter. He seems a little bit disillusioned, and that is Matt Hardy.
Good pick. For me, I don't think he's got the kind of gravitas to be the person who could carry a company on his back. But yeah, he's already got the history with Ring of Honor. He's got the fan base, I suppose. Whether that would translate into people like really watching the show more, it would be a bit of a debate for me. But I can totally see the reasoning behind the pick. Like I said, he's very disillusioned with WWE.
Well, I feel like he would have more creative freedom at Ring of Honor if he was to sign there. And just, you know, think about 3-4 years ago when he was doing all the broken stuff and Impact and in Ring of Honor itself, and how hot he was as an act and how hot the Hardys were as an act. Wow, I say that 3 times fast. but they were super hot, drawing huge crowds. Remember that ladder match with the Bucks? Yeah. WrestleMania weekend. I mean, that crowd was just on fire. And he helped draw that crowd. The Bucks are a draw of themselves, but you can't deny that Matt Hardy was a driving force and driving that crowd. People wanted that match.
Yeah, and to look back at his work in Impact with the likes of the Broken Universe, the guy's got talent. He's got a great man for the business. My only concern would be, is that not just in like a small microcosm of us as hardcore wrestling fans, would it kind of like be able to spread out and bring more viewers into Ring of Honor's product? That would be the kind of like acid test for me.
Well, at this point, where Ring of Honor is now, they've lost a lot of those hardcore viewers.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people going to their shows or watching their product, and that, you know, that's not a slight at the talent that's there, but I feel like if somebody's like, hey, Matt Hardy's back and he's doing the broken stuff again on ROH, that's going to draw those hardcore people back, and it's going to fill up the audience, and that's a better look on television. That means more people are going to see it. That's going to make more people want to watch. I mean, that's why WWE, you know, that's why they'll, you know, cover rows of chairs and things like that to make the arena look more full, move people opposite hard cam side. It's perception, and perception is huge in wrestling, whether people like to think it is or not.
Yeah, you make a great point, and this is not me saying that your picks are wrong. They're your picks for a reason. It's just plain devil's advocate more than anything.
I think as a package, the Hardys would make a big difference. Together, I think that the broken mat stuff is interesting to a point. Whether it would work again coming back, it's debatable. But and then you're left with Matt Hardy isn't. I don't want to be unfair, but not the greatest in the ring. But together, Matt and Jeff, if they were to have another tag team run in Ring of Honor, I think that would do good business.
Yeah, I can see that. Let's go back to you, Paul. What is your second pick on our Mount Rushmore of signees that could potentially rescue this company that is literally dead in the water?
I've got a controversial one and a sensible one. You're going to veto anyway, aren't you? So maybe I'll just go for the controversial one.
It depends if it's Charlotte Flair.
I haven't got the budget for Charlotte Flair.
Sinclair Broadcasting have got deep, deep pockets.
No, it's not Charlotte. Yeah, I've changed my mind. It's Charlotte Flair. No. This one's going to go down like a sack of shit. But I genuinely think he would put a lot of attention on the show. I think he would draw viewers in, and I think he would be someone who people would tune in because they want to see him get his ass kicked, and kind of, you know, you'd see him get out of difficult spots and get away with it, and eventually someone would give him a damn good beating, and the crowd would love it. It is Enzo Amore. Oh, now,
wow.
I've mentioned before on here, Enzo Amore, the amount people still talk about him for someone who achieved nothing in WWE, really. He got kicked out on his ass, got sacked. But yet, there's not a day goes by you don't see people talking about Enzo Amore on Twitter. Tamatonga knows the value in feuding with Enzo Amore because he keeps mentioning him every single day. And if he didn't think that was giving him a good rub on the global wrestling scale, he wouldn't be doing it. He wouldn't be a waste of time. You could probably throw him. I think Big Cass is not well at the moment, is he? So I wouldn't suggest throwing him in him. I think he needs to get himself better. But I do think it would create a lot of buzz. And again, much like CM Punk, if they give Enzo Amore, promise him a live mic on a show that's streamed on the internet.
I've made it so much worse. Giving him a live mic.
People would tune in. And Ring of Honor needs people to tune in. Ring of Honor needs people to buy tickets to the show. And I think Enzo Amore, as a weaselly, mouthy heel, avoiding his comeuppance week in, week out, I think it would do it. I think it would piss off Ring of Honor hardcore fans. But let's face it, they're not going to the shows anymore. So about, you know, a few hundred of them are. So it needs to bring in that wider audience. He's got the WWE name value, even though he got sacked. And like I said, I don't think there's many people in WWE who would look at Ring of Honor and think the grass is greener. So I just don't think that the market is narrow. It needs to be an ex-WWE guy, in my opinion.
Well,
like Enzo Amore.
Enzo Amore. Brad, before I veto it, because I am vetoing it, what do you think about Paul's pick of Enzo Amore?
Oof.
That says it all. Those three letters absolutely says it all. No.
And you know, to be fair, I was actually a big fan of Enzo and Cass when they were in NXT. I thought they were hugely entertaining. And then he just kept coming out. And he kept saying the same thing. And it really wore on me.
But that's the scripting process, though, isn't it? If you watch any of his, just anything he's appeared on since he's left WWE, he's got such a talent for talking. He'd be an amazing promoter if he wasn't being told to say the same thing week in, week out.
And he's not being told to say the same thing week in and week out now, and he's still doing it.
My issue with Enzo Amore, I'm kind of like Brad. I thought in the early days of being on NXT, and then even when he went to the main roster, I found him entertaining. But it's just that he believes his own bullshit so much. He thinks he's this massive, massive rock star, and he's just a knobhead. He's just actually a full-on knobhead.
He's not. Who does? That's what you want from your top wrestlers.
Top wrestler.
That's what you want from your. That's what you want. People you're building a company around. You want them to believe their own hype. These are wrestlers. They're larger than life. Yeah. But you want that. And even Vince McMahon believed he could build a company around Enzo Amore, 205 Live. He had that faith in him. And if he didn't get that, whatever happened in that hotel room, if that hadn't happened, who knows where 205 Live would be now? Because that's what Vince wanted to do, build it around Enzo Amore.
It would be exactly where it was, because the viewership hasn't really changed all that much.
Is there even a program now?
I'm not sure. You know, I watched it when Neville was the champ. I loved it then. That's the first place I saw Mustafa Ali was against Neville on 205. It was a fantastic match.
And that's the difference. Neville looks like he could literally beat you to a living shit. Enzo looks like your grandma could beat him up.
But if you've got a show where your grandma can't catch him, I can't beat him.
That is fair. I suppose just every weekly show where he's running away from people's grannies. I've watched that.
It sounds brilliant. I love it.
I'm vetoing him. Enzo Amore is not in any laugh that I'm alive staying on any kind of Mount Rushmore. So I am replacing him with someone who you could build a company around, who you would be terrified that he would beat up your granny. And I'm going with the actual murder grandpa. I'm going with Minoru Suzuki.
I've got him on my list. That's my list.
Well, there's a lot of rumours that Suzuki was unhappy with his spot in New Japan. And obviously the fallout from New Year's Dash is that he's going to be challenging for that US title. I think the timing is near enough spot on for Ring of Honor to lean into this relationship that they have with New Japan and try and acquire the services of Murder Grandpa for a long period. He is actually loved by Western audiences and not hated like Enzo Amore. And imagine a US champion Suzuki at the top of Ring of Honor's card, working wonders for Ring of Honor, working wonders for Suzuki's mindset about his status in New Japan, and elevating that US title, which is such a gorgeous title. I mean, so gorgeous that I went out and bought one. That it deserves to be elevated. I think being on the shoulder of Minoru Suzuki in a Ring of Honor ring, facing the likes of PCO, the Kingdom, or even, as we've mentioned earlier, the Briscoes, that's absolute money. And I think he would do a lot better for Ring of Honor than Enzo Amore, definitely.
Well, I'm not sure I agree on that, but I did say I had the controversial pick and a more serious pick, and Minoru Suzuki was the more serious pick, so I was justified in getting my Enzo Amore out. I think it's a great pick, and like you say, he's so popular with Western fans, and you see it here in the UK, with particularly at the Rev Pro shows and OTT shows. When he's on the card, he shifts tickets. Mm-hmm. And the arenas are full when Suzuki's on the card, and I'm sure it would be the same for Ring of Honor or any other American companies that would put him on. It'd be a short term signing. He'd have to turn things around quick. You know, is he 52? Is he?
Or, I think he's 51. He's got a birthday coming up very soon, though.
I mean, you don't fucking look it. So he could probably go on forever, but he might not be able to. But he could definitely save Ring of Honor.
Brad, let's get your last pick on your Mount Rushmore of people who could potentially save Ring of Honor. And please to God, don't be Enzo Amore.
No, goodness, no. I actually had Suzuki on a short list. I kept him off because I was worried if I talked about him too much, he might show up at my house and kill me.
Well, that's how he's going to generate viewers. He's just going to knock on everybody's house in America.
Yeah.
Have you watched.
Have you stopped going to Ring of Honor shows? Well, I'm going to rip your head off.
I work for Ring of Honor now. I heard you weren't too kind to them. Somebody that we talked about a little bit earlier, but hasn't been anybody's pick yet. My last one's Tessa Blanchard. Because I feel like they have had such great potential in their Women of Honor for so long, but they haven't had that one star that felt like it really pushed it to the top. And women's wrestling is just, it's so hot right now. I mean, look at what they're doing in, like, you know, in Japan with women's wrestling, or what's the show on Access? Wow. It's on, those shows are fantastic. Women's wrestling in a lot of places. Look at how great NXT is with women's wrestling right now. AEW, it's getting better. I'm not going to say it's on par necessarily with where NXT is. I don't think it is. Yeah, I'm going Tessa Blanchard. I think she's the star that women's division needs.
Yeah, I agree. And if she was to ever leave Impact, she could literally go to absolutely any company and be the top star straight away. She's just amazing. She's not even the best women's wrestler. She's in the conversation for the best wrestlers, period.
I agree.
Yep, so that's a very, very good pick. One that I'm assuming Paul considered it as well. She was definitely on my list of considerations.
On my shortlist? I mean, my whole shortlist has been said now. So you're safe from veto unless something comes to me in the next five minutes.
Well, I don't know. I think you might need someone to come with, because if you thought that Enzo Amore was controversial, you may not like my second pick.
Strap in.
Yep. As I said with the Sami Callihan pick, Ring of Honor's problems aren't necessarily the talent base. I think they've got a very talent-rich roster. Their issues are from piss-poor management. It's as simple and clear as that. And when you've got a company as huge as Sinclair Broadcasting as owners, this is a problem that shouldn't be there at all. But we've kind of seen this before. It's not a new thing in wrestling where a big TV company owns a wrestling promotion and they've just no idea on how to market or manage it properly. The biggest example is obviously Turner Broadcasting when they bought WCW, and they kind of struggled in the early 90s to make a dent in that WWF kind of monopolization. But they brought in somebody that did make a dent, and I think he would be a great signing for Ring of Honor. I am talking about Eazy-E himself. I'm mentioning Eric Bischoff. When Eric Bischoff was promoted from announcer to executive producer, within 2 years, he made massive moves to make WCW competitive with the WWF. They went to, I think it was Disney MGM Studios. He signed Hogan, and he turned a profit for a company that had never, ever in the history made a profit. And then over the next 3 or 4 years, he made WCW the hottest ticket in wrestling. We mentioned him earlier, creating the NWO with the turn of Hulk Hogan. He was the person that led the charge to go to monthly pay-per-views. He was the person that kind of pushed for mainstream crossover. And he famously beat the WWF for 83 weeks straight. And whilst that story kind of didn't have a good ending, WCW going out basically with a whimper and being bought out by WWF, for a long, long time, there was a big worry in Titan Towers that WCW were going to put WWF out of business. And I think that Eric Bischoff needs to get a lot of credit for that. He's got a background in TV production, and working with Sinclair to run Ring of Honor would kind of look like history repeating itself. And as long as he could learn, he and obviously the TV company had learned the lessons in terms of like expenditure and the use of talent, I can't see any real reason why Bischoff couldn't basically re-energize Ring of Honor and become a big force in this wrestling landscape.
I'm not sure I agree.
But
you know what, I've got nothing to put in. I've genuinely got nothing to put in. I'm even trying to think of someone along this. I was just thinking wrestlers. I wasn't thinking management. It's a really good angle to come at. I'm thinking, yeah, while you're talking, is there anyone else out there who'd be better suited? Because I'm not sure Ring of Honor as a TV show is the future. I think just Ring of Honor as a live experience, with online buzz, is more the future for them. I'm not sure Bischoff could deliver that, but I've got nothing in reserve. So,
well, I did have a second choice along the same lines, and it was Harold Mage. there's obviously with rumors that he was kind of on his way out from New Japan, and as divisive as a character he is with the kind of New Japan stalwart fans, he has made New Japan a massive force in wrestling, and it would go along the same lines of what the kind of angle that you took. Then he would make them a big live promotion rather than a weekly format of promotion. So, yeah, he was kind of my alternate for Eric Bischoff. But yeah, I do feel that Ring of Honor don't have a big issue with talent. I think it is management.
I think they do have an issue with talent now, but because of poor management. Mm-hmm. I think they've let the rot set in for too long. But then they've signed some great wrestlers recently, and Rush and Bandido and Flamita, and again, like I said, Martina, and just
Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry,
a superb talent.
Just not managing them correctly or using them correctly. So yeah, I think you're definitely along the right lines. So you may, whether it be May or Bischoff, you've gone for Bischoff. So yeah, let's have it.
I'm glad that those picks suited you, Paul. I've loved doing this research. Like I said, these came relatively easy for me. Maybe it was just because I saw that angle and thought, yeah, that's the way to look at it.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Now, let's have Brad pick a topic for the next guest. So, Brad, I'm going to give you a topic, and Mr. Tolly here is going to give you a topic, and you just pick whichever one you think is the better pick. How does that sound?
Can I know who that topic is going to be for?
We don't necessarily use them in order. So I can tell you the next week's guest, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll get this topic.
So you just gave me Kelsey super hard one. And then I got mad at Kelsey about it.
That's fair. So someone may get mad at you, depending on whether they agree with your pick or not. And to be fair to Kelsey, she didn't have any choice to pick. She came up with that off her own bat, so she kind of does deserve the grief, to be fair.
Okay. Well, I'll grief her some more, but I'll go with the one I think's tougher. I've been blocked by every troll on wrestling Twitter because they can't handle my fire, so let them come.
That's the best way to be. So for my pick, this episode is probably going to come out. We've kind of used up our backlog of episodes. This episode is going to probably come out in about 2 weeks. For context, we're recording this on the 8th of January. So this is going to come out just in time for a very special pay-per-view in my heart and in a lot of people's hearts, just in time for the Royal Rumble. So what I am putting forward is, let's do the Mount Rushmore of surprise Royal Rumble entrants.
Nice. And I'm going to put one forward. I think it's been put forward at least twice, but been rejected. So I'm going to go for it again.
Back to the well.
Today in the news, we've had one of the power couples in the world, Harry and Meghan, have withdrawn from royal duties. So it's got me thinking, again, like I said, one we put forward before, a Mount Rushmore of wrestling power couples.
Very interesting. Brad, what say you?
You know what? The Royal Rumble is also my favorite event, and I would love to discuss that topic, which is why I'm going to go with the other one.
Brilliant
wonderful. I haven't been picked in so long.
he just don't know how to react.
Because he really teased me there as well. I was like, ah, fuck, he's been picked again.
I'm sure you get to the point where it's like, I'm not even going to bother coming up with a topic. I'm not going to get picked anyway. And then Brad turns it on you and picks your topic. But, yeah, it's an interesting topic. We have had it brought up a couple of times, and it's never got over that hill. I think I know who my picks are going to be straight away. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting topic for me to veto Andrade and Charlotte Flair off.
I was going to go for Enzo and Kejic Shell.
Wow. This has been a really fun episode and a great episode to ring in the new year for me and Paul. Thank you so much, Brad, for being a willing guest on this show. Let all the Badlands listeners know where they can find you on Twitter and where they can listen to your amazing podcast.
On Twitter, it's at Take the Bump Pod. It's the same on Instagram. Facebook's facebook.com/Take the Bump. Our podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Google. You can literally just Google it and find it and hit play. It's Take the Bump Podcast. It's not Take a Bump Podcast. That company we were discussing earlier.
Is there a podcast called Take a Bump?
Yeah. What's the guy that was ROH champion not too long ago? I'm having a brain fart here. He's an ROH champion. Yeah, he ripped off our name about 5 months ago. Yeah.
What, like Matt Taven?
Yeah, that's him.
Is it? Really?
Yeah. Tosser. Yeah, Matt Taven named it the Take A Bump. We've been around for 2 years. We're the original. I have been called out for copying his name. I was like, you need to check your dates. Check your dates.
Joker.
We always do predictions, you know. The Royal Rumble one will be coming up. You should make sure to check that out. I have correctly predicted the last 6 Royal Rumble winners.
So give us a bit of a spill. Who are you predicting for this year's Royal Rumble then?
You know what? It's early January. They're still doing a little bit of the build. So it's really hard to figure out exactly where they're going right now. Usually it's about 2, maybe even 1 week out when I finally decide on who I'm going to pick.
What are you going to say when there's 2 people left?
No, there's 2 people left. Maybe 1, maybe 2 weeks before. Sometimes even on go home week. But I actually wouldn't be surprised if somehow Lesnar won right now.
Yeah.
I know people don't want to hear it, but I mean, it's either going to give him an option to unify a championship or, B, he can challenge whoever he wants to, or C, he can be lazy Brock Lesnar and stay home for WrestleMania.
I think Brock Lesnar's a good businessman, though. I don't think he would miss that WrestleMania payday.
Oh, no. I agree with you 100%. People are mad at Brock Lesnar for his contract, and they're completely throwing shade in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. WWE offered him that contract. Anyone would take that contract.
Yep, and it's a point we've made on this show time and time again. I think I honestly do believe that if Brock Lesnar were to hang up the boots, we as a community would miss what is brought to wrestling.
Yeah, I don't even blame WWE. I think it's a genius act by WWE. I think him hardly working makes him one of the best heels on the planet being there.
I just mean the people that throw shade about it. I have no problems with him, make that's something I always say when people sign with WWE and like, oh, the indie wrestling community is like, oh, another one's gone to WWE. My response is always make that money. I'm never going to fault anybody for making that money.
Yep, exactly. I think Mercedes Martinez got a lot of backlash today for confirming she's gone to NXT. And the fact is she's making a lot of money to be in the performance center over working so hard on the independents to make a fraction of that.
Yeah, and look at the women's division in NXT right now. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that women's division right now? It's fantastic.
Well, Io Shirai, probably, because there's rumors that she wants to go on.
Well, I mean, that may be a cultural thing as much as anything else.
I think it's... a lot of it is because she's engaged to, is it Evil? I think she's just missing home.
Well, maybe he can sign the next team. Everything will be fine.
Everything is evil. Yeah, for me, going back to the Rumble thing, I've got one big favourite. I think it's Roman Reigns' year again. I think WWE have built him back up perfectly. He's always been the guy in Vince's eyes, but he's not been force-fed down our throat again this time, and he's just been allowed to kind of like tick over, if you will. And I think a Roman Reigns WrestleMania main event is money at the end of the day. People are still going to tune in and watch it. So I think Roman's got to be a heavy favourite. But my kind of dark horse is Rusev. I think Rusev is as hot as he were when we had Rusev Day right now. And it would be ridiculous if WWE didn't capitalise on it.
I agree. I actually given a little bit of a look at Drew McIntyre right now. They almost hinted at a bit of a babyface turn on Monday. He played to the crowd like a babyface, even though he was beating up another babyface. But
yeah,
I'm okay with him being just a big guy that has a good time and doesn't care who he beats up. I'm fine with that. That's great.
Yeah, for me, he's always got that kind of Sonata vibe to him, where we're always told it's his time and he's going to be the next big thing, and he's kind of like stuck in a state of flux almost, where he's been in the main roster now for what, 2-3 years, and he's still in the same position as he was when he first come in. Yeah, I think it's almost getting to Braun Strowman style issues with Drew now, that he needs that push to tip him over the edge.
I think you're right. I think maybe I said on this week's podcast, I don't know if you've listened to our show yet this week, but I
of
said
course.
Maybe it may have been the one before, but the one before the new year. But either way, I said I think there's a fair chance that Drew holds a world title in 2020. I feel like they should have learned their lesson with Strowman. They've got this charismatic monster that they can't let another guy like that slip through the cracks like Strowman. And I still like Strowman. It was his booking that just dropped him off the face of the map. And it started that WrestleMania match with the kid. Yeah, everybody cheered for it. But at that point, he stopped being a monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and When someone like Strowman loses so many times in the main event, they lose that essence of a monster, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think it's partially due to not necessarily casting blame, but Lesnar on top. Lesnar traditionally works really well with smaller opponents, not so well with bigger opponents. His matches with Big Show in the mid 2000s were really the drizzling shits. They were bad.
I think everything from the mid 2000s was pretty awful, though.
Oh well, I mean, come on, we had Eddie Guerrero. I know, like
Tevin, yeah, I suppose.
There was some great stuff. I loved, like in retrospect, I loved JBL from the mid 2000s. He was fantastic.
That was all in my sabbatical from professional wrestling.
Okay. Yeah, but if you get a chance, go back and watch some of those Eddie JBL matches.
Oh no, I've kind of like caught up on a lot of the stuff that went on in that time, and yeah, it was great action. I mean, that I think that's why I don't have the kind of love for people like CM Punk as a lot of other people do, because I didn't see it the first time around. I've only like caught it like afterwards, and I don't have that emotional connection with him. And also, I think he is a bit of a self-centered prick.
That's why I don't really care for him all that much. I appreciate his abilities all the way around. He's super well-rounded, but that attitude throws me off of him a bit. He's not my favorite.
Plus, he blocked me on Twitter for literally no reason. I've never, ever spoke about him on Twitter, and he blocked me.
He listens.
I was tagged in a thread with Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was tagged in. I didn't speak a word in the thread, and I got blocked in it. So Baron Corbin has been the victim of my Twitter hatred for, I don't know, like going on 2 years.
I got the same with Stone Cold Steve Austin, who I still fully blame the Bagshaws for that. I got blocked from my wrestling hero because of snitch tagging from Graham Bagshaw.
It was Talkamania that got me. Just if we're going to put people out there, Talkamania got me blocked by Baron Corbin.
Come on, Paul. Who are you blocked by? This show's gone well off the rails.
I've never noticed that I've been blocked by anyone.
Oh, you want to
be
checking.
This show's gone off the rails. Have you listened to my show? this is how I do business, baby.
So I may have been, but I doubt I have. I don't tend to say nasty things about wrestlers.
Yeah, you're very non-controversial when it comes to wrestling. When it comes to sandwich toppings, that's definitely a different matter.
I think I've been blocked by Heinz. Yeah.
I am surprised because you deserve to. So, Paul, before this show gets off the rails anymore, it's time for that go home.
Yeah, this has been a really difficult one. So I think we need a bit more help on this. So first thing people need to do, they need to follow us on Twitter. So I'm at Rain Counter, you're at Dej Kirkby, D-E-J Kirkby, and we're both at Badlands Pod. Follow us, come tell us, who do you think could save Ring of Honor in its present guise? Do you think Brad's team of AJ Styles, CM Punk, Matt Hardy and Tessa Blanchard could save it? Or do you think mine and Darren's team of CM Punk, Sami Callihan, Minoru Suzuki, Eric Bischoff and not Enzo Amore could save Ring of Honor?
Not Enzo Amore might push you guys over the top.
Don't mention Enzo Amore. We will definitely not win.
I'm playing for votes any way I can. it's been a difficult one, but if it was easy, someone would have done it already. They would have saved Ring of Honor. So let's get your thoughts. And just like we've had to do right here, always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.